The House, please come to order. Members, please indicate their presence by voting. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please take the roll?
16 members present.
Today, the chaplain will be Judy Rice from the local spiritual assembly of Baha'is of Mendenhall Valley. Would you please rise?
O thou kind Lord, this gathering is turning to thee. These hearts are radiant with thy love. These minds and spirits are exhilarated by the message of thy glad tidings. O God, let this American democracy become glorious in spiritual degrees, even as it has aspired to material degrees, and render this just government victorious. Confirm this revered nation to upraise the standard of the oneness of humanity, to promulgate the most great peace, to become thereby most glorious and praiseworthy among all the nations of the world. O God, this American nation is worthy of thy favors and is deserving of thy mercy. Make it precious and near to thee through thy bounty and bestowal. Abdu'l-Bahá.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members are excused from the call of the House today. During the session, Representatives Ellis, Grusendorf, Hoffman, Navarro, and Wallace. The following members later in the day, Representative McLean from after session, Representative Taylor from noon, Representatives Collins and Phillips from 4:30 p.m., and Representatives Donnelly, Kopanen, Menard, and Zawacki from 5 p.m.
We stand at ease, please, for a moment. House, please come back to order. Would the clerk please certify as to the correctness of the journal of the previous day?
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 73rd day.
Are there guests to be introduced today? Mr. Martin?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to introduce a friend who's been down here for the last 3 days and very important, a constituent of someone in Anchorage. I don't know where he lives. But he's important to the whole state because he's the chairman of the Anchorage Crime Commission under the State Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Ed Young.
Mr. Kopanen?
Yes, I'd like to introduce a friend, a constituent, electrical worker, bulldozer operator, computer hacker, Brad Brooks.
Mr. Lehman?
Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to introduce a resident of District 9, Steve Stropshire, who owns the Green Connection in Anchorage, and he's also down here with the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. Let's welcome him. He's in Gallery A.
Mr. Furness?
Mr. Speaker, I'll take the liberty of introducing a gentleman who I believe is the current chairman, president of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Rod Bradley.
Mr. Minority Leader?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two guests in the audience today in Gallery A, a dear friend of mine from Wrangell, Helen Smith, and her son-in-law, actually, Jerry, from the Juneau area, Jerry Bakeberg.
Are there other guests? Mr. Majority Leader, I think we have a quorum at this point.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the record to reflect we now have a quorum, and for that reason, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journal for the 73rd day be approved.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Are there messages from the Governor?
Submitting the following executive orders passed by the first session of the 16th Alaska State Legislature to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. Executive Order Number 72, Executive Order 73, Executive Order 74, and Executive Order 75. I've also read the following and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 16 commemorating the 1964 Great Alaska Earthquake, Legislative Resolve Number 7. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 23 relating to a health care cost containment task force, Legislative Resolve Number 8. House Bill Number 61, an act relating to the Governor's Committee on Employment of the Handicapped and relating to Alaska Employ the Handicapped Week, Chapter 7, SLA 1989. Signed sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have messages from the other House?
Mr. Speaker, the Senate approved the following citations and they were transmitted to enrolling. Honoring the Governor's Interim Commission on Children and Youth and honoring Elaine Hoover, Alaska's first Horatio Alger Award winner. The Senate has concurred in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 6 resources, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 6 resources relating to the interception of Alaska salmon and steelhead on the high seas. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Are there other communications?
We received a report from the Alaska State Officers Compensation Commission. It's the compensation and benefits of the judicial, executive, and legislative branches of state government, and it is on file in the Speaker's office. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
Yes, we received from the House Rules Committee a zero fiscal note for House Concurrent Resolution 25, which appears on today's calendar. The Judiciary Committee recommends that House Concurrent Resolution Number 1 amend Uniform Rule 56 session schedule and recommends it be replaced with the Judiciary Committee substitute with a new title and due pass. The report was signed by the co-chairs Gall and Grunberg. Concurring Grunberg, Gall, M. Davis, Martin Miller, Davidson, and Ellis. House Concurrent Resolution Number 1 has no further referral. The House Special, the State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill Number 3, Art in Public Places, and recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 3, State Affairs, with a new title, and is reported back as follows. The report was signed by Boucher Chairman, signing Dupass, Hanley, and Zawacki. Signing no recommendation, Donnelly, Menard, Sponholz, McLean, and Boucher. House Bill Number 3 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee has considered House Bill Number 126, Anabolic Steroids as Controlled Substance, and recommends it be replaced with a Hess Committee substitute with the same title and due pass, and attaches a zero fiscal note and a zero note with analysis. The report was signed by Ellis Chairman, concurring Ellis, Grunberg, C. Davis, Jacko, and Furness. House Bill 126 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered sponsor substitute for House Bill 159, Natural Resources Exempt from Property Tax, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairs Larson and Hoffman. Concurring, Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Brown, Omer, Barnes, Phillips, Rieger, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Kopanen and Schultz. House Bill 159 has no further referral. The State Affairs Committee has considered House Bill 186, State Warrants as Negotiable Instruments, recommends it be replaced with a State Affairs Committee substitute with the same title and due pass, attaches a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Boucher Chairman, concurring Hanley, Sponholz, Boucher, and Zawacki. McLean has no recommendation. House Bill 186 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. The Resources Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 16-ITT, Preservation of Kennecott Mine Site, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Menard, co-chair, concurring Menard, M. Davis, Davidson, Jackal, Foster, Sharp, and Hudson. Senate Joint Resolution Number 16 has no further referral. The Transportation Committee has considered Senate Joint Resolution 27, Valdez Essential Air Service Subsidy, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Cato, chairman, concurring Lehman, Foster, Hudson, and Cato. Senate Joint Resolution Number 27 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The State Affairs Committee has considered Senate Bill 23, DPS Authority, Crime Statistics Collection, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Boucher, chairman, concurring Hanley, Zawacki, McLean, Sponholz, and Boucher. Senate Bill 23 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 Hess, Medicaid Payments to Health Facilities, and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by the co-chairs Larson and Hoffman, concurring Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Kopanen, Barnes, and Wallace. Having no recommendation, Brown, Omer, Phillips, and Rieger. Senate Bill 166 appears on today's calendar. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader, we're at ease.
This is done without a bill.
Do whatever you want. Where'd we get?
We're down to special committee reports.
Okay. Are there reports of special committees?
The House Special Committee on Foreign Trade has considered House Concurrent Resolution 26, supporting Ports Alaska, and recommends it do pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Report was signed by Jack O'Kerman, concurring Jack O'Davidson, Cato, Ellis, and Collins. House concurrent resolution number 26 has a further referral to the Transportation Committee. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introductions of citations and resolutions.
Citation honoring Kaya Michael Smith, Ms. Black Heritage, 1989, by Senator Frank Fahrenkamp Coghill and Representatives Miller Boyer, M. Davis, Kopenin, and Sharp. This citation appears on today's calendar. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 238 by Ulmer, an act extending to 3 years the statute of limitations for civil actions brought by victims of sexual abuse and relating to causes of action brought by adult victims based on injuries suffered as a result of sexual abuse during childhood and the statute of limitations applicable to those causes of action and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to the Judiciary Committee.
House Bill 239 by Boyer and Kopenin, an act establishing the Good Pasture public use area.
Refer to Resources and Finance.
House Bill 240 by Kopenin, an act relating to eligibility for parole.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Judiciary.
House Bill 241 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to compensation of certain public employees who are not members of a collective bargaining unit and providing for an effective date.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 242 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to proration of state benefit payments.
Finance Committee.
House Bill 243 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to an exemption from municipal property taxation for certain primary residences and providing for an effective date.
Community and Regional Affairs and the Finance Committee.
House Bill 244 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the frequency of certain state agency reports.
Stand at ease, please. Read House Bill 244. That will be referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 245 by the Finance Committee, an act changing the Power Development Revolving Loan Fund into the Power Development Loan Fund, requiring that income and repayment of principal and interest on loans from the Power Development Loan Fund be deposited in the General Fund and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 246 by the Finance Committee, an act increasing the tax on alcoholic beverages.
Health, Education, Social Services, and Finance.
House Bill 247 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to special license plates and special license plate fees and registration fees.
Transportation and Finance.
House Bill 248 by the Finance Committee, an act repealing the 25-cent resident hunting, trapping, and sport fishing license and related exemption from commercial fishing permit requirements.
Resources and Finance. Mr. Schultz? Yeah, we'll be at ease. House, please come back to order. Clerk, please read the next bill for introduction.
House Bill 249 by the Finance Committee, an act relating to income from the Permanent Fund.
State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 250 by the Finance Committee, an act increasing alcoholic beverage license fees.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
House Bill 251 by Ellis, an act relating to powers and duties of the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission and to educational broadcasting in rural areas of the state and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings it to consideration of the daily calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 25 by the Resources Committee, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 62. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 25 is before you. Is there discussion? Mr. Davidson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Concurrent Resolution 25 will suspend the uniform rules and allow the House Resources Committee to change the title of Senate Bill 62. Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 62 is a measure dealing with salmon enhancement tax. This tax is used by commercial fishing groups to tax themselves 2 or 3% and then use the proceeds from the tax to build salmon enhancement facilities. The state of Alaska collects the tax on behalf of the fishing groups. This tax being modified in Senate Bill 62 has been in place for a number of years. Mr. Speaker, under existing law, fishing groups can build aquaculture facilities using state loans. The state expects these groups to use the proceeds from their salmon enhancement tax to pay back the loans. To further protect the state's interest and to clarify the obligations under which these state loans, the House Resources Committee would like to add an amendment to prohibit any fishing group from reducing their salmon enhancement tax until all state loans have been repaid. This simple amendment would further protect the state's interest by locking in the salmon enhancement tax until after all state loans have been paid. Mr. Speaker, no one expects fishing organizations to try to circumvent the payback of state loans. But by clearly spelling out this provision in the statutes, everyone will have a better understanding of their rights and obligations. Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to say that the major fishing organizations support this amendment to Senate Bill 62. But, Mr. Speaker, to add this amendment requires a title change to Senate Bill 62, which is why this legislation is before you today. Mr. Speaker, the Senate sponsor has no problem with this amendment. In fact, Mr. Speaker, I am not aware of any opposition. House concurrent resolution will simply let us add an amendment and change the title of Senate Bill 62 to protect the state's interest. In conclusion, Senate Bill 62 adds the 1% tax option to the existing 2 and 3% options. If you are confused, it means that in Bristol Bay, the fishing groups there would like to tax themselves only 1%. A 2% tax or a 3% tax, which are the only options they have available to them under current statute, they feel would allow them to collect too much tax for salmon enhancement facilities. So we're simply adding a 1%. And hopefully you can change the language that simply says 3% or less. The title change will include protections to the state of Alaska for existing and future fisheries enhancement loans. This concurrent resolution modifies the uniform rules to allow a title change to Senate Bill 62. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Phillips.
Speaker, I don't have any quarrels with the merits of Senate Bill 62, but I do have a standing rule that I've always had, and you can always check the voting records if you want to see that, and that is not to change the rules because it's convenient. And I guess the question is, what's the emergency? Can we send the bill back to the Senate to make the title changes to come back? Is there a time crunch, or is there somebody going to die because we don't do this? I just simply have that standing rule. I've always had it ever since we changed the rules in January of 82, and I very rarely vote for suspending the rules. I think I've only done it once because of an emergency situation.
Mr. Taylor?
Brief at ease, please.
Brief at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm going to oppose this bill for one big reason, the big reason being that it does not say in this bill what the title would be changed to. It's nebulous. It simply says that they're considering putting a 1% salmon enhancement tax, but I think any time you bring a resolution before us asking for a title change, it has to be very specific if you're going to get my vote.
Other discussion, Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to answer my friend from District 14, this itself obviously will be meaningless until we actually take up the substantive bill. So all this does is comply with the rules, and you'll have the bill in front of you at the appropriate time and be able to deal with the title at that time. And if there's a question about the exact title, we can deal with it. All this does is suspend the rules to allow us to do that on the substantive bill.
Representative Rieger.
Mr. Speaker, one of the things that I might suggest is that this bill be held in second reading until SB 62 is brought to the floor for the amendment amend the bill.
Mr. Martin.
It's thank you, Mr. Speaker, I don't know if some of the new people within our means understand the significance of title changing. And you just don't do that overnight on a whim of a committee chairman or if anyone else wants a title change. It's a significant motion that can be used once we get in the habit of it, of significantly changing bills, whether they go from one body or to the other. And I'm not sure of Senate Bill 62. I did brief it this morning. It's a little different from what the chairman of Resource mentioned. It said 1% sales tax. I didn't say 2 and 3% sales tax, or whatever tax it was. It was 1% for sure. And with this putting in loans and the limitations of loans and the paying off of loans tells me that we're getting into what the temporary majority leader said, substantive legislation. And it seems to me that should be discussed through the Resource Committee. If they agree, and especially if the other House agrees, then maybe it should be considered. But right now it seems very premature. I would agree with your cohort from Eagle River that it doesn't seem to be an emergency. No one's dying, you know, it's not a death. It's a simple concurrent resolution you have here, but it has a tremendous impact on substantial legislation. And so I think we ought to consider what's behind this simple motion before we pass such a thing.
Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, we get carried away with misunderstanding. This is a simple attempt, and I understand the gravity of title changes. The 2 and 3% that I mentioned in my explanation is in current law, and it's 2 or 3%. The people in Bristol Bay, the group who will tax themselves to build enhancement facilities for the salmon fishery, simply want to be able to pay only 1%. And next year, perhaps, there'll be somebody who wants to pay 1.5%. These various private nonprofit hatcheries around our state are being formed. These organizations are being formed because the state is getting out of the hatchery rearing business. But it's such an important business to our state's economy that we would still like to see it happen. So these private nonprofits are making it happen. And usually they make it happen by getting a state loan that they would like to pay back. The 1% allows the Bristol Bay Group to charge or tax themselves 1%. By a title change, we can say 3% or less. It covers any... Is there a problem?
I hate to interrupt a member on the floor.
Are you calling a point of order?
What's
your point of order, Mr. Taylor?
My point of order is that the Speaker has strayed far beyond the substance of this motion before the body. Primarily, all we're talking about is what's literally written here in about four lines. We're not talking about the next piece of legislation that will still come on, and that's the one he's been discussing throughout. I appreciate the chair allowing him a lengthy discussion on it the first time, and now I think another lengthy discussion on it. That would be appropriate discussion when that bill is on the floor. This is just a technical change, and I think he ought to address his points primarily to those rules that are being changed and not necessarily the substance of why they're being changed. Thank you.
Mr. Davidson, you have the floor. I think he was discussing Senate Bill 62, which is mentioned in this resolution.
Thank you. I'll restrict my remarks to the matter before the body. The emergency is simply an emergency of timing. If we do not get this bill through committee, through the Resources Committee, and we know how long sometimes committee work takes, then we will miss another season in the Bristol Bay area. And the state will not be able to assist this group in building yet another private nonprofit fish hatchery. And so that's the gravity of the situation. There's nothing onerous about this attempt. It's done with the full openness of the committee process, and frankly, Mr. Speaker, the alarm of that's been expressed is a surprise. I would just ask the assistance of my colleagues to allow the committee to do some cleanup work on things that have come to the committee and simplify the task of getting the job done for our private nonprofit fish hatcheries. Thank you.
Stand at ease, please. Can I see you for a second? House, come back to order, please. House concurrent resolution number 25 is before you. Does the clerk have an amendment?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Davidson and Barnes. Page 1, line 13, add a new sentence. The new title will be an act relating to the salmon enhancement tax and providing for an effective date.
Mr. Davidson, care to move the amendment?
I'd like to move the amendment and ask for a unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the amendment's been adopted. House concurrent resolution number 25, amended House, is before you. And is there additional discussion? Mr. Jacko?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I feel the necessity to rise and make somewhat of a correction to the statements of my colleague from Kodiak there. You mentioned earlier that the Bristol Bay Group was raising money to build a hatchery, and that would cause the dead to turn over in their graves out in Bristol Bay. Their hatchery is a dirty word out there. Essentially, what they're doing is raising money for salmon enhancement streams. So I just wanted to make that correction in case anyone out there was watching this discussion.
Is there additional discussion? Mr. Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can move and ask unanimous consent if I be allowed to abstain from voting on this. This may constitute a conflict of interest if I vote on this.
Sorry, Mike. Are we ready to vote? The question before the House is, shall House concurrent resolution number 25, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
30 ayes, 3 nays.
House concurrent resolution number 25, as amended by the House, has passed the House. The clerk, please read the next item on today's calendar. Mr. Martin, do you wish the floor?
Yes, sir. Mr. Speaker, burning issue, a note been passed to me, so I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent to prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the prayer will be spread upon the journal. Clerk, please, Mr. Rieger, do you wish the floor?
Mr. Speaker, I give notice of reconsideration of my vote on HCR 25.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Did the clerk read the next item on today's calendar?
I haven't yet. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to conformance between actual payments and approved payment rates to health facilities for medical care under certain state medical assistance programs and providing for an effective date. The Hess Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Ellis Chairman. Signing do pass, Ellis, Gruenberg, Furness, Boyer, Jacko, and C. Davis. The Finance Committee has considered the bill and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Larson and Hoffman, co-chairs, concurring Hoffman, Larson, Swackhammer, Copeland, Barnes, and Wallace. Signing no recommendation, Brown, Ulmer, Phillips, and Rieger. I have no amendments on my guest, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill be considered engrossed, enrolled, and advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
Objection to the advancement motion. Mr. Minority Leader?
Just asking for a brief at ease for a moment.
For at ease?
Thank you.
House, please come back to order. Mr. Rieger?
Mr. Speaker, upon reconsideration, I move that I withdraw my notice of reconsideration, ask unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, Mr. Rieger's reconsideration notice has been withdrawn. We're at the next item on today's calendar. Has the clerk read Senate Bill 166?
Yes, I have, Mr. Speaker. We are on a motion to advance.
That's right. Okay. Is there further objection to the advancement motion for Senate Bill 166?
I withdraw my objection.
Hearing no objection, Senate Bill number 166 is in third reading. Would the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 166 Hess by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee. An act relating to conformance between actual payments and approved payment rates to health facilities for medical care under certain state medical assistance programs and providing for an effective date.
Is there discussion? Mr. Taylor?
whoever's carrying the bill on the floor, I would appreciate an explanation as to why we have to have this piece of legislation. It appears to me as though, had things been handled correctly by the department, it would not have been necessary to now go back and redo this, but maybe I'm misinterpreting it.
No. Mr. Boyer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to address that briefly. It wasn't a problem created by the department. The Medicaid Rate Commission inadvertently created the problem because they had eliminated one of their own regulations, and it was a regulation which allowed them to waive the year-end conformance requirements under the Medicaid program. What they did in eliminating that waiver ability was put a couple of hospitals, which subsequently exceeded their Medicaid rate, which had already been agreed to because of some extraordinary patient requirements. And the Medicaid Rate Commission later, actually this all took place within a couple of months period of time last summer, they later realized that they needed the authority to be able to waive this extenuating circumstance, didn't have the ability to do it anymore by their own regulations, couldn't retroactively go in and adopt the regulation again and retroactively apply the thing. The only way we can get back now to square one and make these hospitals whole again is to go back and legislatively implement effectively that same regulation. And that's what the text of the bill does, is essentially take the ability to waive year-end conformance and make it statutory, thereby allowing us to go back to January 1 and rectify that problem.
Is there additional discussion? Mr. Hudson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just so that I understand this, I'm looking at the fiscal note, and apparently we're not dealing with the fiscal note, only changing of the regulations. Is that correct?
Mr. Speaker, we have to adopt the fiscal note to go along with this. It's kind of hard to explain exactly what happened. When the regulation was removed and the the four hospitals at this particular case, time weren't in conformance with the Medicaid Rate Commission rate for those that particular care, the budget accommodates those kinds of reductions. Now, by going back retroactively, we have to make the budget right. We have to make sure that they are able to go back in and make an adjustment. I think, in fact, on section, it's section 3 of the bill provides for, it's section 2, provides for an immediate lump sum payment. And so the fiscal note has the dollars in it for those lump sum payments. We know how much the hospitals would have received had they been found in conformance with the rate adjustment. We know to a dollar what that amount is, and so the fiscal note reflects that.
Mr. Hudson?
Thank you. Just to follow, we're looking at $250,000 equally split between general fund and federal funds. Can you just tell us who that would go to?
Would go to Humana Hospital. There, Sitka, I think, has not yet made an application for that lump sum payment. But if Sitka asks or comes in and makes application for some funds, we're looking at approximately another $89,000. That, I think, can be accommodated within the remaining fiscal year's budget. But we felt that we couldn't accommodate the $250,000 out of the existing budget.
Is there additional discussion? You ready for the question? The question before the House is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill number 166 has passed the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
33 yeas, 1 nay.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 166 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on final passage for the Hess CS for Senate Bill 166 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Is there objection to the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, that's been approved. Mr. Majority Leader, citations.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. There are five citations on the calendar today. Move and ask unanimous consent that the House adopt them.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, the citations on today's calendar have been approved. Brings us to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have a couple of requests for excused absence. I move and ask unanimous consent that the following members be excused from the call of the House. Representative Boucher from adjournment today, that's March 23rd, through plain time Tuesday, March 28th, and Representative Cato from Friday, March 24, through plain time Tuesday, March 28.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, those members are excused on the dates indicated.
I have another issue.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, if the members would take out their limbo files. For the new members, this is a first time we've done it this year. If you look in your limbo file, you will see House Bill 71, and you'll see two versions of that. And the motion is going to be that the Senate, that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 71, thereby adopting the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 71. And what this will mean is that we adopt the Senate version of the bill. And the chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee will describe the differences between the two bills. But the motion is to concur in the Senate amendments.
Mr. Donnelly?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Basically, in labor, this is every so often there's adopted a new elevator safety standard. And in statute, it specifies what that standard, what the year that standard is. So frequently, we're requested to update to the new standard in statute. In Labor and Commerce Committee, we put a provision saying that the department could adopt the new elevator standards as they came out by regulation, if they so wish, so they wouldn't have to come back every so many years and have a whole piece of legislation to do that, Mr. Speaker. The Senate took that out, the other body, excuse me, removed that amendment and has it so that now we just simply are updating the standard to the most recent elevator safety code, and that when a new one comes out, we'd have to come back and do another piece of legislation to update it again.
Is there further discussion? Mr. Boucher?
Just a point of inquiry of the majority leader. Is this an up or down vote on this?
Mr. Majority Leader?
Yes, I just hope we don't shaft the bill.
Are you ready for the question? The question before the House is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to a committee substitute for House Bill 71, Labor and Commerce, thereby adopting the Senate committee substitute for committee substitute House Bill 71, Labor and Commerce? Members may proceed to vote.
Down.
Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take the roll. Lock the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
34 yeas, no nays.
House has concurred in the Senate amendments. Mr. Majority Leader?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. I can't
hear you. Is there objection to the effective date clause? Hearing no objection, the effective date clause has been adopted. The limbo file is now empty again, I believe. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Are there announcements? Mr. Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock in room 502, if the Finance Committee room is not available, if the Finance Committee room is available, we'll meet there. But just a general discussion for those members of the Finance Committee, the Fiscal Policy Committee, or anyone else who'd like to participate in relation to reductions to pass-through programs. As you know, Mr. Speaker, we have been working with the Governor and the Senate, and it is our charge to look at reductions in those pass-through programs to municipalities, to nonprofit organizations, and to individuals, and we'd like to start our work on that tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
Mr. Schultz?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to let the body know that Nenan Ice tickets are on sale, and they have been on sale for quite some time. It's only going to be about another 5-6 days, so I just wanted to remind the body, those that are leaving town, don't leave town without them.
Mr. Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you'd allow me just a little bit of latitude, this isn't on a committee meeting, but it is an announcement, and I'm kind of proud of it. Talked about 25 years ago, my winning a national physical fitness award. Well, I'm kind of proud that in the last 2 days, my wife, Vicki, a grandmother, in competition with some of the best international skiers, for Mark Air, won
Yesterday, she won the slalom at Sun Valley by 1.7 seconds. And today, I learned that she added the giant slalom to that and beat a former Olympic skier who'd been the champ for 7 years. So the Bouchers are still alive and fit.
Mr. Zawacki?
Yes, I just want to announce that there's going to be a joint Senate House Anchorage caucus at noon today. The Anchorage Chamber will be speaking before us in the House Finance.
Other announcements, Mr. Majority Leader?
Just a brief,
please. Representative Ulmer, announcements?
Thank you. Two very brief announcements. Tonight is the annual legislative dinner at the Glory Hole, so if some of you would like to get some good soup and learn a little bit more about the Glory Hole program on South Franklin Street, it's at 7 o'clock tonight. And there will be a women's health fair, which is put on primarily by volunteer health care providers in Juneau this weekend. And if anyone would like more information about that, please see me. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the information of the members, there'll just be a technical session tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and no business will be taken up at that time. And then we will not be in session on Monday, and we will be in session again at 11 o'clock. That's 11 rather than 10 on Tuesday.
Other announcements? Are there special orders? Mr. Larson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask special permission to speak on legislation introduced today.
Without objection, you have the floor, Mr. Larson.
As you know, Mr. Speaker, the House Finance Committee has been working in a very delicate situation in relation to trying to look at both spending plans and balancing our budget. As you know, we have also kind of agreed through the summit process and informally to look at reductions in the magnitude of $150 to $200 million in the budget. To accomplish this procedure, we have tried to establish a very open public process in which, of course, we have encouraged everyone to take part. And we have also created, I guess you could say, the philosophy that we have no sacred cows. We're putting everything on the table for discussion. And in that light, of course, today we did introduce a series of bills that I'm sure will stimulate more debate, more concern, probably some controversy, probably some good work in relation to amendments to make these bills better bills than they are now. But these series of bills are really aimed at putting certain discussions on the table, whether they have to do with compensation of employees, prorations of benefits and services, the creation of additional taxes in relation to alcoholic beverages, more firmly, I think, insulating the permanent fund from any raids by ensuring, of course, that inflation proofing will keep the fund whole as a top priority. In other words, I guess what I'm saying, Mr. Chairman, is, or Mr. Speaker, is that I think we're establishing a process here that is going to be fair, equitable to everyone, and probably at the end of the process, everyone's going to say, well, I don't agree with all parts of it, but I do agree that I had the opportunity to take part in the decision process, that the decisions that were made were responsible decisions, and that, in the end, all residents and all citizens of the state of Alaska will be better off for it. So I hope by introducing these bills today that we are continuing that open public process, open debate, so which everyone can bring forth their concerns, and I guess in the end then do the job that the people sent us down here to do. So thank you for the opportunity to have said that today. And I'd also make myself available to anyone at any time to discuss any one pieces of this legislation. And your concerns are my concerns, so let's get on with balancing the budget. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you. This is not a special order. It's one more announcement. Just wanted to tell those of you who are staying in town this weekend that there's going to be a fun dance party Saturday night. UAS is doing a sock hop at Centennial Hall. So if you want to revert back to the 50s and 60s one night and take your shoes off and do a little sock hopping, that's Saturday night at Centennial Hall. Thanks.
Jukebox Saturday night. Any other special orders?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wish permission to speak on fear trembling or broadening the debate.
Without objection, Mr. Kopanen.
Thank you. Fear and trembling, of course, refers to such things as tax measures. I will use that word rather than anything else in this particular instance. We have seen our revenues fall, and I've been here in the territory, in the state, long enough to have paid an income tax for many years. I have today introduced a bill which will be read over tomorrow. I think it'll be House Bill 252, if anyone wishes to join me, which restores the income tax that we paid as a percentage of the federal income tax, which of course has been leveled down so the top is not as high, that it's no longer quite as progressive a tax, hardly progressive at all, but that we collect a percentage of that so that people will just be able to use the first page of their federal forms for that, with the exceptions that any payments made to municipalities, either for property taxes, property tax share rentals, sales taxes from a sales tax table, or the like, will be a full 100% tax credit against the income tax itself. Likewise, the tax is not levied on people who are under the federal poverty level, since A, I don't wish to tax people who aren't making enough to get by, and B, I think we can generate a little less paperwork by doing it in that fashion. I think that that kind of tax has to be looked at both to support municipalities, to give them a greater freedom of action, and also to see whether we are, in effect, willing to pay our own way. And therefore, I feel that it is an essential part of the debate in balancing the budget this year, and I put it in for that purpose. And as I said before, I invite your participation as co-sponsors. Thank you.
Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I may have the privilege of the floor to talk on the same subject just briefly, I know.
Without objection, you have the floor, Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm almost at loss words, which, you know, is very seldom the case. I thought maybe we were going to get through this session without anybody doing it, and I really don't see the need yet for an income tax. Nevertheless, I must, in short, feel that the gentleman who is proposing this makes it sound so nice and sweet and so beautiful that they've simplified it for it. It's only going to be a one-page thing. Oh, well, isn't that nice? You can do a lot with one page. It could be 20%, it could be 30%, it could be 1% of your income tax. Why don't you just make it simple and say, turn over your check to us? You know, that way you don't have to worry with any paperwork. I know that we're going to have a lot of discussions on this, and I guess it's good that the cat's out of the bag now, but the thing is that this is not going to be an easy question to handle when the citizens throughout the state time and time again are telling us to cut back, to stop state government. I certainly don't believe it's wise at all to say that we're going to have a statewide income tax so we can pass it through to the local communities to share the wealth with them. We're going to lose a lot of money taking that in the first place. And it just seems to me that, you know, you only have a small part of the people, less than 46%, who are going to pay this tax, because it's only working people and those with good pensions who are going to pay tax, while we still give out hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to other people. For instance, we paid about $22 million last year in the Hold Harmless clause. Now, it's going to take about 6,000 residents of this state to pay at least $1,400 apiece
income tax just to pay the tax for someone else who's making too much welfare from the state and the federal government combined. So there's going to be a lot of discussion on this, and I think we've got to be within reason and let's provide jobs for people. That's the number one way.
Other special orders, Mr. Taylor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like the privilege of the floor to speak on debate and taxes.
Without objection, you have the floor.
During the last 78 or 9 days, I think we have seen an open and candid debate on this floor, and I applaud the chair for the manner in which it has conducted this body. And I encourage the members that we continue in that fashion in the future. I'm proud of this body and the way it has conducted itself in light of my past experiences here. On the question of taxation, I would sincerely hope that concomitant with those tax and revenue enhancing measures, that we will also see the same activity that I'm applauding at this time, the chairman of the co-chairmen of the Finance Committee for providing us with today. I look forward to participating in that debate, as do the members of my caucus, and I appreciate the fact that the hand has been once again extended to us and our consideration has been allowed on this very crucial subject. In closing, I would like to comment that today upon the floor we saw an accommodation again on behalf of the majority to allow us the opportunity to, I believe, improve on a very worthwhile piece of legislation, and I thank you for that opportunity.
Other special orders? Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On that happy note, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent. We stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
We're adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.